The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight on this Friday, right? We have made it to Friday, and it's been a long week. And I think, speaking for myself personally, I think the next couple weeks are going to be actually pretty busy. We have this big event that's coming up next week at the Anderson House that we're going to talk a little bit more about. And there's just a lot of stuff happening about. So there's a lot going on here. Now, it's Adam.
Yes, Adam. Sir.
So here we are. It's the second night in a row that I promised Robert Robinson. As of yet, we haven't seen him. And now, folks, I'm not getting mad or angry about it. Trust me. It's if he's able to join in, he will. But we're the second night in a row that I've told a lie, quite frankly.
Well, I wouldn't quite call it a lie, and here's why.
That's so kind of you.
Well, see, he's a master of cryptids, and they're hard to find and hard to see.
Yeah.
So he's getting into character, if you will, or he's getting into his realm of the cryptids. We've got to go squatching for Robert.
Well, and maybe that's fine. I accept that. And you have also done so. Now, for those who are listening on the radio, you don't see what I see. I'm actually doing this from home today, but Adam is somewhere else and he doesn't have a camera, so it's just a black screen. So he's also in kind of the cryptid mode. He's kind of, you know, I'm looking for some eye shine from him soon enough, but you're hidden.
That's why I'm kind of like the Jersey Devil.
Well, that's what I've always said, funny enough. So that's I'm glad we're at it. But
sadly,
also,
that is one of the ones that I'm totally certain is just a myth, legend, doesn't actually exist.
Well, so I know why Robert isn't here. I know why. I figured it out.
Okay, what's that?
Well, you're going to be like, obviously, when I say it. He wanted to hear the Olivia Newton-John story that I never got around to yesterday.
Xanadu, you're right.
I mean, it's just like, he's just like, why would I dare come on the air? Why would I dare come on the air? It rhymes. I like it. Why would I dare come on the air when we still have unfinished business from the night before?
Well, you're the one that I want. Dupe, dupe, dupe.
Well, let's try to do something cryptid tonight at any rate, okay?
Right on.
Anybody who is watching, put in the comments if you've ever seen, I mean, Ernie Pack is on here, who's also noted again that you are running the board, but you know, when he did it, there is no Adam to be seen. No Adam to be seen. And it is noteworthy. I'm going to be very honest. It is noteworthy. I do personally, Ernie, believe that you are correct, that I don't think Adam really cares for you at all.
Because I'm a ghost and he's a Pac-Man.
Well, I bet Ernie's never heard anything like that before.
Dad joke. Bloop, 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 bloop.
So yeah, that's it. It's important that we know, like, we put the right people in the right places. So if you know Ernie's on, we know that Adam is not going to be there. I mean, you know, the stuff that Adam says about Ernie you know, off the air is not FCC approved. So, you know, you have to be careful about all that
stuff. Hey, man, this is confidential.
That's right. I'm sorry. Well, it's confidential if you don't hear. You just, I mean, you know, I'm not the congressional hearing over here. So, you know, I can say and do whatever I want.
So I'll go to the media and tell them more than I will in front of you and the rest.
So folks, if you have any sort of like cryptoid experience, like there's something that you have seen that you'd like to share. And Ernie, I know, I mean, we've talked about our stuff, let alone all the stuff that you've shown me pictures of beings before. I mean, it's very cool. But also, anyone who's listening, you can call in 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And you can call in about anything, quite frankly, if you want to talk about anything. We're turning this into a casual Friday because it's kind of what it turned into, I guess, a little bit. But, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up to Robert was if he had done much in learning about Pepe, the Lake Pepin lake monster that they talk about over in Lake City. And that's, you know, local, basically, for Minnesota. And it was, you know, important to talk about because we have that event in Wabasha, which Wabasha is 20 minutes from Lake City. Have you ever been down in that area, Adam?
I've been there, but I've never been for, what, Pepe Days? Or I don't remember what it's called. I remember reading a promo for it years and years ago. Wanted to go. Haven't yet, but it is something I do want to go peep out.
Like Pepe Days are here again, you know. Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, and there was somebody I knew who said that when he went to Pepe Days that he saw the monster. And do we call it monster? I don't know what's politically correct anymore, Adam. I mean, I'm struggling over here. I get pronouns wrong. I'm trying and I don't get it right. So maybe he's not a monster. Maybe he's just Pepe. Maybe we just leave it at that. Pepe. You're Pepe. That's what I think, at least. Did I lose you, Adam? Are you just in shock?
I'm answering the phone. I've got to do stuff other than listen to you talk. I got to push, you know, great buttons and stuff. But we do.
That's why you can pay the big bucks.
Yeah, what bucks? All right, so we do have a caller, and we're going to talk some paranormal. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Super. Am I speaking with Greg Bakken?
Greg, you can hear him, right?
Oh, yeah, I can hear him.
All right.
Super. Hi, Greg. I really, really love you. The show that you've got, and I finally decided to give a call in. I've had two experiences with UFOs, and I did want to mention that I don't know if you've ever covered anything to do with Elmwood, Wisconsin, from the sightings back in the mid-70s.
We haven't. Now, they just had their UFO days, haven't they?
I believe, you know, it's every year about this time. Yeah. I don't know the exact time.
I literally think last weekend, or if not the weekend before, they had their days. And, you know, I'm going to be very honest. And may I ask your name, please, if you don't mind giving? If you don't want to give it, that's totally fine.
Actually, I'm going to not, because I actually do have a few concerns, but I guarantee you that my talking about what I'd like to speak about two episodes in my life, definitely I am not fabricating. I would tell you exactly what happened, and then people like yourself and other people can decide just how it registers in their mind.
That sounds great. Why don't you go ahead? Tell us what's on your mind. What you experienced, please.
Sure, Greg. In fact, if I didn't have to spend the weekend with my wife this weekend, I was actually going to try to catch up with you at an event that's happening at the Marriott by the airport on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
That's right. Yes.
But here, hey, this is better than that. Even being able to speak with you personally. Okay. So first of all, I used to live about a mile and a half from Lake Michigan, 5 miles north of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. We had a dairy farm there. We went into a partnership. So I went from Minneapolis, to Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So I'm in second grade around 1964.
Okay.
I believe that's when I was in sixth grade. And I was going to the barn on a cloudy afternoon, and I looked towards Lake Michigan because I can see it every day. We're only about a mile and a half away from the cliffs there where Whistling Straits is now. Right down from there. It was nothing there at the time, but now Whistling Straits is there. So anyway, I look up in the sky, and above Lake Michigan is a huge cigar. So I'm in second grade, and I look at it, and I go, it's not moving. It's not doing anything. And then I went to the barn to help my dad with chores. That's in second grade. Then as some time goes by, I start seeing photographs of pictures of cigar-shaped, whatever it is up there in the sky. And I do know, I've researched over Lake Michigan, that certainly there's been, as you well know, different sightings over large bodies of water, and specifically Lake Michigan. So that's my first experience. My second experience, I'll try to not make it maybe as long as, I'll make it as short as I can.
You're doing great.
At Ellsworth, Wisconsin, I did get a job as a dispatcher during high school in 1976. And then I was able to go out with deputy sheriffs if I wanted to go even on their entire shift, just go along with them. So there was a very nice deputy sheriff at the time. He's passed away now, so I can't actually talk to him about it. I wish I could have talked to him more about the situation I'll tell you here recently. But anyway, he's passed away about 9 years ago. And one time we were called out to Elmwood area, and Rock Elm, actually. And we'll go out and check in the woods here. There's a big, bright, really bright white light. And we went out there, and what I remember, this is in 1975, I think it was about middle of, just a half a year before I graduated from high school in 76 at Ellsworth, Wisconsin. So we go out there, and sure enough, we see this bright light sort of that's over the hill in a wooded area. And then we got out of the patrol vehicle, and we looked at it. All we could see is illuminating white over a hill, probably about not even 50 yards. And then all I remember is being back in the squad car, and like some time went by, maybe 25 minutes. Yes, and I didn't really I didn't realize it at the time that, I wasn't really paying attention to other situations where lost time was quite an issue when things like that happened. So all I can tell you, and I've been wanting to tell you this and your audience for quite a while, those two episodes in my life, we never talked about it. I don't know what it was. I didn't see anything other than that. I don't remember other than getting in our vehicle and moving on. We didn't do anything about it. And I don't know why we didn't do things about it. But anyway, also I know a gentleman, he's passed away now, but he was a friend of my dad, a farmer friend in the Elmwood area. And he's told me many times in the past, people, there's a couple people he knows that have actually seen saucers, and they just kind of got used to it over a period of a couple years there. So whether it was the government experimenting things, or if it was from another, out of this world, that's something that is still in people's minds, that either it was the government or it was from another area of our everything that's out there. And but I know that there was also, and you probably know this too, I just can't remember his name, but there was a police officer that actually had two encounters where the patrol car actually lost all of its power and all that sort of thing. And then he did get a radiation or some sort of disease that they never really could diagnose. And about 6 to 9 months later, he passed away. He swore up and down that he wasn't making it up. So there's my stories there, Greg.
Those are great. Now, did you ever find any like marks on you after that second experience with losing time, or see ever felt like that there, I mean, not to frighten you or anything, but any sort of like possibly like any sort of they done anything to you during this period of time?
No, not at all. I don't remember anything distinctively anything actually, any sort of physical markings. No. And like I mentioned, all I can say is what basically we were told to go out there, see what that was. And I don't, it's like my mind, it's like it got erased or something. But I do definitely know it. It's like, why are we sitting back in the squad car for? We were standing out there. The sheriff deputy and I, we never talked about it. And I think I would have loved to have talked to him about it now, you know, in the last, say, 5, 6, 7 years. And then I found out he passed away about 9 years ago. And but I do know, Greg, that also my mother one time near Ellsworth, our dogs were barking and barking. And she just happened to casually say, I think a lot of people just kind of got used to it. She said, oh, it's probably one of those UFOs, because the dogs are just, our farm dogs are just barking like crazy, like very oddly. So that's just a little bit of a sidetrack on things about that time period. But I really, I don't know if you've done an extensive show about the Elmwood situation there or not, but if you haven't, or if anybody could ever call in about their experiences with anything to do out in that area during that time period, I'd love to hear more about it. But I guess I've always wanted to just tell you those two situations. Back to the cigar-shaped situation in second grade over Lake Michigan, I can actually, there's about 3 or 4 pictures that I can say, yeah, that's exactly what I saw over Lake Michigan when I was in second grade. But that's all I can say about that. And
that's great. And thank you very much for sharing that with us. This is really incredible. And thank you for the call. The Elmwood stuff, that's a great suggestion. I will look into that. I will see if I can get somebody on to talk more about that. And if anyone's listening and they have experiences with that too, please call in 952-946-6205. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we are going to continue. If anyone has calls, anyone wants to share any information or anything, we're very open to that. Otherwise, we're going to get to Olivia Newton-John. I guarantee it, an article, not her. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Reach your highest level of consciousness and well-being with MetamorphosisConnections.com. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory of the best holistic and metaphysical practitioners to help you make your most informed choices. You can search MetamorphosisConnections.com for classes, events, wellness and life coaches, plus metaphysical products and shops. You can also search for a wide array of healers from all modalities, including EFT, sound healing, energy healing, light therapy, ancestral healing, shamanic healing, reflexology, past life regressions, hypnotherapy, yoga, and more. And if you're not sure where to start, the search feature on MetamorphosisConnections.com is tailored to help both those who know what they are looking for and those who are just starting. Come explore the possibilities for your higher self by visiting MetamorphosisConnections.com. Their experienced practitioners can guide both beginners and those that are already on their spiritual journey. That's MetamorphosisConnection.com, your link to direct you on your spiritual transformation.
And I just wanted to thank that caller for calling in and sharing his story. It's not easy always to share stories about stuff like that, because even though it's more accepted these days, I think it's still a great leap to do so. And I wanted to thank you for that, for calling in. And I certainly totally understand not wanting to give out any your name or anything. And I had to get to break, so I hope I wasn't too quick to get you off the phone, but we needed to get to break. But the caller was also talking about where I'm going to be at tomorrow. I'm going to be at the Minnesota Psychic Fair and Classes. That's Saturday and Sunday. That's over at the Minneapolis Marriott Airport Hotel. That's going to be from 9 to 5 tomorrow. Tomorrow, afternoon, Char Savoy, who you might remember from such programs as this one, she is going to be, we're going to be speaking together at between 4 to 5 tomorrow, and we're talking about energy karma of the paranormal and metaphysical realms. That might sound very lofty, but it's actually going to be a very, very cool conversation. And so we're definitely looking forward to it. And Adam, as the caller had said, talking about Elmwood, I think that's a great idea to find somebody from there and have a conversation.
That's fantastic. That's one of two things I want to cover from the state of Wisconsin. At some point, I would love to have an episode of the Beast of Bray Road.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to peep that out. But going back, two things. One, did you just turn Char into Troy McClure?
I always say, actually, I get that from Anthony Bourdain.
No reservations.
He has reoccurring people on the show. It's like, you might remember so-and-so from shows like this one.
Yeah.
You know.
the first thing that popped my mind was Troy McClure. The other thing is our anonymous caller, he mentioned the police officer who had the encounter. That was Val Johnson, and that was in Marshall County.
Exactly. And I had wondered if we're talking about the same person, because Val is still alive.
Oh, yeah. And there's also that Wisconsin story, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because Val is still alive. And in fact, when we had Tom Maher on from MUFON, we talked about Val, and that Val is still alive. But Tom was like, you can't bother him. Not that he was talking to me directly about that, but he was like, you can't. He doesn't want people to go and find Val, because Val had done his bit. He had told his story, and he doesn't want to tell it again. He's done talking about it. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore, which is very fair. But he still gets people showing up at his door wanting to reexamine and reopen that in his mind. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. So that's why I was wondering, because I had said our caller said, the cop, I said, well, that's Val. And then he said, well, he died 9 months after. Val didn't die. And I don't know if he's talking about someone else as well.
Yeah. There's a Belleville from 1987 where a couple of police officers from the Belleville sheriffs witnessed a UFO sighting in 87.
Yeah. Yeah. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Call in if you have anything you want to talk about, if you want to share your experiences. I mean, this is honestly, folks, what we just had in the last segment with that gentleman who called in. This is why this show exists.
Amen.
Honestly, it's Friday night. I'm in a room with a Raggedy Ann doll with two candles behind. It's creepy. And we're talking about UFO encounters. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about. Unfortunately, it looks like Robert wasn't able to join us, which is fine. We'll reschedule with him. Such a good guy. It's well worth hearing what he has to say and what's going on with him. So definitely, this is, I mean, when we get callers like that, I'm going to be perfectly honest, I'm excited. It really kind of validates to me. I don't know about you, Adam, but it validates to me that this is why we do this show.
Yeah, this is exactly, and my phone thing's ringing, so please talk about Xanadu for a minute.
Well, let's do that. Let's get to that. We've been promising this for two nights, and Olivia Newton-John's been in the news all week. As the strong reporter that I am, I don't know why. I think it might be either a anniversary of her birth or passing. I'm not sure, but a year after her death, so I'm thinking that's what it is, Olivia Newton-John keeps visiting her family as a blue orb. Here's a bit of handy life advice for anyone out there. Promise to your loved ones that when you die, you'll return to visit them as one of those floating orbs that they make such a big deal about on shows about ghost hunting. And I got this from the AV Club. That's what Olivia Newton-John apparently did before her death last year. And it really seems like it's helping her loved ones deal with the loss. And if that sounds sarcastic, it's not. Grief is hard, and if seeing blue orbs helps you get through it, then good for you. And that's the article talking, and there is so much truth to this. Now, this all came up in a People profile of Newton-John's widower, John Esterling, and daughter, Chloe Lanazzani, who both noted that they've had supernatural years since Newton-John's death. Latin Z says her and her mom would watch these paranormal shows together, and she once told her mother that she had to show up after her death. Apparently, Newton John then promised that she'd show up as one of those orb things. And sure enough, 2 weeks after Newton John died, she took a picture of her dog and saw it, a little blue orb, the same color as a pendant necklace she was wearing, Olivia Newton-John was wearing, the daughter was wearing, that belonged to her mother. Easterlin's story includes less hard evidence, but the details line up. He says he took a trip to Peru recently with Newton-John's ashes to commemorate what would have been their 15th anniversary. And in that photo he took of the spot where the two had gotten engaged, he saw a blue orb. Again, that, you know, we're, as the article says, and I agree, don't judge. If it helps him, it's great. I don't doubt that he'd seen it. It seems to make sense. Now, according to a website called Haunted Rooms, one of the first open-minded websites that came up in a Google search about orbs, these kind of orbs or light balls are generally thought to be manifestations of energy. Some aren't actually ghostly in nature, but are mere refractions of light on the lens camera or just a bit of dust. But that doesn't mean there aren't real ghost orbs floating around. And anyone in the paranormal could tell you orbs themselves are the most hotly contested piece of paranormal evidence of all time, because we'll be out there with our night vision cameras. And what happens is if a bug flies, even though it's HD or 4K, the definition isn't great enough always to pick up those bugs. And they come up as often like a light anomaly or something else. And if you are actually looking at, if you're actually looking like in the dark and you see something light moving around, that's a better chance that it's actually an orb. So George Wheeler was the cop in Elmwood, Wisconsin. Okay, thank you, caller, for calling back in and getting us straight in that, because I don't think I'm as familiar with that one. I'm going to look that one up. We also have Terry on the line. Welcome to Ghost Box Radio, Terry.
Pardon me?
Hi, Terry, you're on the air. Ghost Box Radio.
Hi, how are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
I am doing. I've been listening. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
And I've called in to your show before, but I wanted to relate at least one story that happened to me years ago. I was at my best friend's aunt's house, and we were in the living room, and they had a cat that they named Morris because he looked like Morris from the Nine Lives commercial. And he was laying on the couch next to me, and all of a sudden, you know how they will start that growling in their throat?
Yes.
Well, he got up, and his ears stood up, and he started that growling, and we all kind of wondered what was going on because he was looking in the dining room. And he got down off the couch, and he started going towards the dining room like that crouching, you know, that they do. He followed something into the dining room and then into the kitchen, and he followed it back in the hallway that came out by the front, the stairs going upstairs. And he sat at the bottom of the stairs, and we watched him watch something going up the stairs. And he was growling all the time, and then he crouched down, and he went up the stairs, and he sat at the top of the stairs growling, and he went in one of the bedrooms, and then he went, you know, he does what a cat, row, 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 you know, and then he came back downstairs. That's the closest I've ever come to seeing an actual ghost. I didn't actually see anything, but I know in my heart something was there because that cat was fixated on something, and he followed something all the way through the house, and we all watched him.
You know, when he's watching that, whatever it is going up the stairs, was his head kind of like kept like rising a little bit as like it's ascending, whatever's ascending the stairs, he's closely
it
watching
was,
it?
Like every time it walked up a step, his head would go up. He was following it up, and his head was popping up and down, and he was following it right up the stairs. Pardon me?
I said, then you all left, right? Got the hell out of there.
No, we stayed, but... Now, another thing, I was watching one of these, you're talking about orbs. I was watching one of these Ghost Hunter episodes on television. I can't remember what channel. But they were talking about orbs, and they were investigating Terry Melcher's house where Sharon Tate, where the Bianca murders took place, where Sharon Tate was killed and all that, mm-hmm. from the Manson family.
Yeah.
And they were filming, and they showed these orbs. And one orb in particular really interested not only them, but me,
yeah.
because Sharon Tate was pregnant when she was murdered, yeah. and this orb was a larger orb with a smaller orb on the inside of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Pulling, you know, that's what convinced me. And I know your explanation, I heard about dust on the lens net, but I truly believe that orbs do our people, our spirits of loved ones that come back and are at least checking on you.
And don't get me wrong, I do believe in orbs. It's more of that, it's trying to find the right, like, photographic evidence and stuff. And I've seen that picture of the orb within the orb, and that I totally believe it. And it's actually not her house, because that house was demolished. It's, I think what you saw was
David, the property.
Yeah, David, and I can't think of his last name at the moment. And he's been on like stuff like My Ghost Story and Ghost Adventures and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, it is very true. And as Ernie Pack in the comments has said, paranormal orbs typically emit light rather than simply reflect it. And that is very true, which is why I was saying, like, if you're in the dark and you see it moving, that means, you know, that's not a bug or anything. It's very interesting. Terry, really appreciate the call.
Let me say just one thing. I think you've got a great, outstanding show. I called in a couple of times when you were just on the weekends. This is one show. Right now I'm heading home, but I've been driving around the city just so I can listen to your radio show.
Anyway, that
keep up
that
the
makes
good
me
work.
Feel so good.
And I'm going to try to come out on Sunday to the airport.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Please, stop by. I mean, it's so good to hear that, because Adam constantly tells me how much this show is horrible, and it just really kind of, he kind of brings me down, quite frankly. So.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I don't think Adam knows what he's talking about. Sorry.
Oh, that's what we've been saying the whole.
Is this Ernie and not Terry?
Terry,
well, I'll let you go now, because I'm sure you got other people or other things to talk about, but I just wanted to let you know about those two things that happened to me. You know,
that's amazing. That is amazing. Terry, thank you. Have a great night. And
you do. Keep up the good show there, buddy.
We'll do our best. Thank you so very much. So Terry was just talking about, you know, and that's the thing, too, is watching animals and really logging what they're doing. And Adam, I don't know if you've had any experience with this, but I had my cat AJ, and I'll never get this. And I took a picture of her, actually. And one of the iPhone iterations I had, it was lost. The picture was lost. But here she was, and she was sitting upstairs in the loft in this house, and she's just watching something move. And she's just kind of like, I'll tell you though what the look is. If it was a bug or something like that, her pupils would get much bigger, right? I mean, that's kind of how they operate. She had like a pleasant look on her face. Like she was in this, and don't take this the wrong way, she was like in ecstasy. Like when I'm talking as a religious experience sort of thing, she's just watching it and just very, and I took a picture of it because I just like, I've never seen anything like this. She was just focused on something, almost like a smile on her face, and that thing never smiled. And I think it was one of two things. I'm not going to say what one of them is, but I think the other might have been my old cat Dave, perhaps. I mean, they never really got along, but at the same time, what is it? I mean, it's so interesting. And as Terry mentioned, you know, those animals, they are great at what is a great sort of way of knowing if there's something going on.
Yeah, because an animal, when they see something, they're not going to try and rationalize it like us as humans will. You know, it's like, that had to be somebody just passing outside on the street, or, you know, just we will rationalize any way we possibly can. But without the rationalization that an animal will have, if they're focusing on something, you should probably be focusing that area as well. Because an animal is going to tell you, one, when a nasty storm is on its way, especially if you've ever lived in, on or around farms. You pay attention to the horses and you pay attention to the chickens when you think you're going to have inclement weather.
Now, also, well, actually, why don't I hold on to this? Because we need to get the break again. Once again, folks, you have something you want to share with us, please do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. If you want to share anything with us, we have one more segment. So, you know, there's plenty of time to tell us what's on your mind. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish up, and we have lots more to talk about. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
If you own a holistic or metaphysical business and are looking to expand, then you need to be listed on MetamorphosisConnections.com. It's a network where you can grow with like-minded practitioners and reach new clients. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory you need to list yourself and your business. Our platform makes it easy for you to create listings of your products and services, and you can also choose to list your classes, events, and so much more. MetamorphosisConnections.com helps you create weekly and monthly promotional ads targeted towards your potential clients and promotes them for you via social media and newsletter. There are clients searching for your specialty right now. Let us help them find you. Start your listing today so you can share your own unique gifts and talents by finding the level of membership that best fits your needs. Let us help you reach your clients that are searching for what you do. Visit MetamorphosisConnections.com and sign up today.
And we have a lot of stuff coming up here in the next couple of weeks that we want to talk about, both event-wise and with the program. Don't forget, as a couple of people have already mentioned calling in, Terry mentioned it and our other caller mentioned it, tomorrow and Sunday, I'm going to be at the Minnesota Psychic Fair and Classes at the Minneapolis Marriott Airport Hotel. This is put on by Maria Shaw, who we had on this week, also known as the French Quarter Psychic Medium. This is going to be a fun event. I've never done this before, but Shaw speaks very highly of it. In fact, Shaw and I are going to have a table right next to each other, and her and I will be doing a talk between 4 to 5 p.m. Saturday, Energy Karma of the Paranormal and Metaphysical Realms. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and to get in is free. But go to mariashaw.com, get more information. There's just going to be a lot of good stuff going on. Monday, we're going to have on Dave Schrader, and Dave is going to be talking with us about the event that's coming up starting a week from tonight over at the Anderson House in Wabasha, Minnesota. There are still tickets available for that. There is no more room at the hotel to stay, but if you get tickets and you go to charvinity.com, find events. If you get tickets, we're going to tell you or give you some options. You can call in and get some lodging. This is going to be so much fun. We're putting a lot of effort into this. Dave is putting a lot of effort into this. He was the one that wanted to come on Monday and promote it, and we can talk about a lot of other stuff. You can call in ask questions as well. We're going to have Adam with us on Monday as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And there's just so many good things going on right now. It's so exciting. And, you know, I think you're kind of excited for Dave to come on, aren't you, Monday?
I'm very excited and really wish I would have gotten a text from you on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how it works, right?
That's how it works. But side note, I really hope Brett or Patrick actually just came into the studio because for those of you who watch the feed when Greg's normally doing this by himself, you can see the transmitter room to my right. The lights just went on there and then turned off. I am not kidding. I am not joking. I really hope Brett or Patrick are in, but I did not see any car lights on the closed captioning or on the CCTV we have here in the studio. I am honestly a little freaked out.
Yeah, that's...
Has that happened to you? Because I have never noticed them just randomly turn on for a brief moment and then turn right off.
There's been times because, as Adam says, like where he is or where you see me, there's a window that leads out to the, you know, the hallway. And sometimes, like this week, not to freak you out, this week there's been a couple times where I've just kind of looked because it felt like that there was something... something that was out there. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, and, that made you feel a lot better.
Yeah, and Brad, you got to send that REM pod to me, okay? That I just ordered today.
Okay, and I need to talk about that in a second. But first, I do need to clarify, as Char clarified a little bit more for the for the event tomorrow, you need to go to mariashaw.com to register for passes to attend classes. Definitely, you know, go to mariashaw.com and get that all figured out from there. And yes, as far as Mr. Brad Webb, who has finally opened up his Etsy store, he's been talking about doing something like that for some time. And what you need to do is you need to go to Crack Skull Para on Etsy. He's selling equipment, and he's selling it very reasonably. He makes it. He makes it himself. He makes the casings. He makes the innards. He sells it. It's very high quality stuff. And if you buy it, go to Etsy, go to Crack Skull Para, Crack Skull Para. If you go there and put in the promo code Ghostbox Radio, you'll get 10% off your order. And that's pretty cool. And thank you, Brad, for doing that for us. That's really cool.
And if you're a nerd, he has got an Ark of the Covenant rim pod sitting on there. If my wife would have allowed me, or actually if I would have allowed myself to drop the money on that, that one would have been mine. But instead I'm going with the one with the K2 holder on it as well. Very reasonably priced. One of the better looking ones I've seen. I cannot wait to get it to try it out. It's going to be a blast. Again, thank you, Brad.
I have a great idea of where you should try it out.
Here?
Yeah. It sounds like it, doesn't it? Remember when we were, before we started going nightly, I said that I was going to set up a REM pod in the studio when I was working the board, and I was going to have a camera on it and it always just be live, and we'll see if it goes off while I do my show. And
that's a good idea.
Maybe there's something to be said that we still do something like that. I don't know. But part of it's like, do we want to know?
I do.
There is yeah, I'm like, I do want to know. It's weird because I would think if Brett or Patrick are there, that they would do the kindness of letting you know, like sending a text, because like even when Brett was working in Simeon after my show one night, he sent me a text. I'm going to be on Simeon doing some stuff. So that is, that would be nice instead of just showing up, because that's not great, to be very honest.
I could see Brett sending the text. I could honestly see Patrick just sneaking up behind me and like putting his hand on my shoulder with an open mic, and we would have to hit the dump button on the delay.
Brad says maybe an old school microphone REM pod, perhaps, you know, and that's, ooh. So what Brad is saying here, and what Brad has been trying to do with his equipment, he's trying to make this stuff look like something that would fit in to the surroundings of where you would investigate, so that Spirit isn't looking at it, that this equipment, and they're like, what is this? I don't understand what this is. But instead, it might be like a jewelry box or something that they might be like, oh, okay, I understand what this is. It's familiar. So if that's like, you know, the spirit of Dave Moore at our station for some reason or something, you know, it'd be like, oh, a microphone, I get it. And because I have a big ego, I'm going to start talking into it. So, you know, all that stuff is possible. Dave Moore is like a legend in broadcasting here in Twin Cities, if people outside the Twin Cities are wondering who I'm talking about.
I was about to say we should probably put a who that is.
So have you ever heard of what's the name of that restaurant? I seem to blank on all names when I go on the air, but there's a restaurant in downtown Minneapolis, just on the outskirts of downtown Minneapolis. They have like a picture, like a wall full of famous people in it, and all sorts of broadcasters and stuff. And they have a picture of Dave Moore, and it's about 7 times larger than every other picture in that place. It's like a 6-foot-tall picture. It's ridiculous. It's like, we all like Dave Moore, but wow, you really like Dave Moore. Monte Carlo, that's what I'm thinking of. The Monte Carlo.
Oh yeah, that's right. God, let's see. It's probably been 15 years since I've actually been in there.
Yeah, I it's been a long time for me too, and I used to like going there. I mean, it's like it's just a supper club. It's a great supper club, and mm-hmm. They have some great, you know, we talk about wings, chicken wings, and they have great chicken wings there as well.
And the other thing that I think would be cool for Brad to do, if you're ever going to investigate in, like, let's say Las Vegas, poker mm-hmm. chips, or like what looks like a deck of cards.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool because, you know, apparently Vegas has a ton of haunted hotspots, just not in the casinos, but in the places that the casinos used to be and the backdoor gambling, if you will. I think that would be kind of cool to take to Vegas and have, you know, a REM pod and a deck of cards. Or that's to, like, right. Tombstone, the Birdcage.
Yes. Yes. And honestly, I think those are great ideas. And, you know, it was really interesting and annoying. We did this convention in Vegas in 2021, December of 2021. And I don't think it's from Vegas. I just think it's, you know, when you get a lot of people into the paranormal and metaphysical realm all in one place, it can be very overwhelming. But even worse is that there is some bad energy there, and it just wafted over everything. I mean, the convention was a you know, a crap show anyway on a biblical scale, but the energy in it was disgusting, absolutely disgusting, and everybody was in a bad mood. And it wasn't only because it was so poorly run that, you know, the ants at AM 950 could run a better convention than that, but this was much more of also, like, there is just some bad stuff. And sometimes, believe it or not, people will go into these things who have the power to do certain sort of spells and stuff, and they will specifically put out bad energy like that because they want to see if they can affect all of us. And that, you know, those are the people that, you know, it never fails. Most of these conventions, you'll get at least a couple hours of that, or in this case, the entire run of the convention. It was just disgusting. Brad says that I made up a cigarette case and 3D printed fake cigarettes to use as a REM pod trigger object. Just need to finish it. I mean, that's what Brad does. You two would get along very well. You guys are both thinking about that sort of thing. And that's, as you know, Adam, we talk about this quite a bit. That's what, you know, investigating is how do we stay creative and not do the same thing over and over and over again? You got, you know, talking to like Ernie Pack and Denise Pack, going to locations. And if you're a tour guide, like they were at Waverly Hills, how do you keep it fresh? You know, places like that, I don't think it's that hard, but then there's smaller places that it's like, how do you keep this fresh? And that's the kind of thing that really helps, I think, too.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're running ghost tours, no matter where the location is, and especially if these are intelligent haunts, they're going to hear you. They're going to get bored.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these are just people without bodies to begin with. So if they're bored, you know, you're going to be getting bored. Nothing's going to happen, and the field isn't going to move further along without and not being able to get that concrete evidence where everybody can look at and be like, oh, these do exist.
Yeah. Well, and like we're going to do that event this weekend. The next weekend, I guess, over in Wabasha. And the thing about that is, like, both nights I'm going to be in one spot, different spots each night, but, you know, the group is going to rotate into our groups in our room. So we're going to be four times every night, you know, watching people investigate and trying to help them, not necessarily, you know, the fourth group in a row who are going to be the ones that are going to have fatigued ghosts, fatigued spirits, and be like, what's your name? You know, and trying to make it so that it's good for them, it's good for spirit, and trying to make it like that there's still energy. And that's a challenge sometimes. And sometimes it changes. Sometimes you have people that are really good at, like, there's good groups that they just think out of the box, just let them go. Others, they just need a little bit of help to, you know, to think about the right questions and stuff. So it's going to be interesting. And it's stuff like this that really help. And Brad says he's also need to work on his Simon game, REM pod. And I've done similar. I was in groups that have done similar, where we have two REM pods, one on either end of a hallway, and one person will hit the pod so it goes off, and then they'll say, can you do the same down at his REM pod down at the end of the hall? And we've done this at Malvern Manor, where it's happened. And, you know, that's an intelligent response. that's just an intelligent response. I don't care what anyone else says. That's an intelligent response. And that's the kind of stuff I absolutely love.
And if you're doing a Simon style, a great one would be repeat this, boop, 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 and then see if you get the same tones instead of doing the knock thing. You know, everybody does shave and a haircut because, you know, that's an easy one for anybody to kind of do. But I like the idea of the Simon, you know, red, green, blue, whatever the colors were. I don't remember off the top of my head. And then try to get them. I like that idea.
Yeah, I think that will work out very well. And that's the sort of thing that I think a lot of people, you know, it's like it just takes people to have a different sort of way of thinking about the equipment, you know, and it's also not the equipment as well. It's also the questions as well as, you know, like I said, you know, you don't want to have a lot of people who are just like, you know, do you know you're dead? Because that's a horrible thing to do. My biggest pet peeve, though, is as we're wrapping up here, my biggest pet peeve is you set up all this equipment and, you know, we follow the rules here. If a spirit doesn't wants us to do something, we follow and we set up like take 2 hours to set up the equipment. And the first question is some investigators like, do you want us to leave?
Ugh.
You know, if they're like, yeah, it's like, well, time to go, folks. So, you know,
there's 2 hours down the drain. Where are you going to go next?
That's the end of that. Yeah, we got that's how that works. So, yeah, that's certainly something to think about. So, you know, folks, as we wrap up this week, don't forget Monday, we're going to have Dave Schrader on. Adam is going to be back here and we're going to be talking about our event in Wabasha next week. Please make sure to visit ghostboxradio.com to find past episodes of our radio show and like us over on Facebook at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. Also send any comments or feedback to comment@ghostboxradio.com. Thank you all so much for all the calls tonight. That was a lot of fun. And don't forget to see us tomorrow at the Minnesota Psychic Fair and Classes at the Minneapolis Marriott Airport Hotel. Register over at MariaShaw.com and make sure you take advantage of everything that she has going on there. And finally, whether you're chasing spirits or just drinking them tonight, please be careful. And we'll see you Monday with Dave Schrader. Everyone, have a great weekend. Take care.